Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Hei. We are four lines from the top, and in the midst of our discussion regarding squeezing juice out of fruit. So if one crushes a grape for the sake of extracting the grape juice, that's a malacha. It's a teilada, a derivative of the malacha of dash. Dash is threshing, extracting the grains from their husk, from their encasement. So you're transferring the grains and you're turning it into something edible, from something inedible when it was encased in the husk, in the shell. You're actually changing its status and now turning it into something edible. Likewise, the juice being squeezed out of this fruit is changing you're changing the status of that juice. Initially, it was part of the fruit. It was regarded as a food item because it was part and parcel of the grape. Now you're changing the classification of this matter. You're turning it into a juice, into a beverage, into a mashke. That's considered to be a malacha and related to the malacha of disha. Now Rav taught us a novelty, a chiddush, that if the intended purpose of squeezing the grape juice out of its fruit is not for the sake of the juice to drink it, it's actually for the sake of a food, of a solid food. He's dripping it into a pot which has a dish, so he's using this juice as an ingredient in that food item, in that dish. It's a mashka habala oichel. That is considered to be oichel as well. This juice is not classified as mashka. The intent is to turn it into a food item. So therefore, it doesn't involve a malacha, because you're not changing the status. You're not changing the classification of this matter. Initially it was food, and now as well, it is becoming part and parcel of food. Therefore, there's no malacha involved here. Continues the Gemara, four lines from the top. Amar b'yerm, yoke tanoi. Apparently this concept is actually a machlekes tanoi. The Mishnah says, hamachak b'anovim, this baker who takes anovim grapes and squeezes them on his dough, on his unbaked bread, so that it develops a shiny crust when it bakes. Lo yuchshar, this juice that oozes out of those grapes is not regarded as mashkin, as a beverage, because it's coming for the sake of food, of bread, of a dough. Therefore, even though those grapes came into contact with his juice, they don't become huchshar. Huchshar means when a fruit comes into contact with specific types of juices, mashkin, for instance, grape juice, it becomes susceptible and enables it to be mekabel tumah. The fruit from now on will be mekabel tumah. If it touches something tummy, it becomes tummy. So this juice, according to the Tanna Kamma, is not regarded as a beverage, as a mashkin, and therefore the grapes which came into contact with this juice, lo yuchshar, did not become enabled for tumah. Rabbi Yehuda, mehuchshar. They did become. Why? Because he regards this juice as mashkin, even though it's coming for the sake of an oichel. Says the Gemara, my lav boka miflugi. Apparently, should we not say that this indeed is the point of their machlokes? Mar savar, the Tanna Kamma holds, mashka bala oichel, a juice which is coming for the sake to benefit oichel, for instance in this case it's coming to benefit the bread, oichelu, it is regarded as an oichel, and therefore does not have the ability to enable the grape to be mekabel tumah, doesn't have the din of a mashkin. Or mar savar, in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda holds, lav oichelu, although it's coming to help the food, it's not considered to be an oichel, it's considered to be a beverage, a mashkin. And therefore, since it comes into contact with those grapes become hushel kabot tumah. Amra papa, no. The kuliyame all agree, mashka bal oichel, lav oichelu. Perhaps all hold that even juice which is coming for the sake of oichel is not an oichel, rather it's a mashkin. What then is the point of this agreement in this Mishnah? V'hacha over here, v'mashka bal ibud, kamiflagi. They're discussing juice which is going to waste, it's going to be discarded. Why? Because when he smears it on that dough, what's going to happen to the juice? When it gets put into the oven, it's going to dry up, it's going to evaporate, it's going to waste, it's going to be discarded. So the question here is whether this mashkin has a chashivas, has a significance of mashkin. Is it treated like a ordinary beverage, since his intent is to merely smear it on the loaves and have it evaporate? So he's not regarding any chashivas to it, not giving any significance. So perhaps it is, or perhaps it's not. So therefore, the machlekes here is mar savar mashkuhu. Rabbi Yehuda says, despite the fact that it's about to evaporate, it is still considered to be a mashke. Umar savar lav mashkuhu. Tanna Kamma holds, since it's going to dry up and evaporate, it's slated for drying up. You can't consider this to be a mashke. This machlokes regarding a mashka which is slated for ibud is going to be wasted, is going to be discarded. This machlokes is compatible with another machlokes, which seems to be based on this concept as well. This tanya is going to be a brisa. One has zesim olives and he crushes them, he bruises them. Biyodayim mesu avos with hands that are tummy. And the point here is to aid in their, Rashi says, the crushing and the juice, the oil which oozes out, somehow enhances the flavor of these olives. Huksha. So therefore, the olives become hushal kabatuma. This juice is regarded as proper mashkin since he likes them. He wants the juice to come squirting out of this olive. Therefore, it is regarded as mashka and is machsher those olives for tumah. However, if he crushes them simply because he wants to layer them with salt, so he needs that the salt should catch onto the zeisim, so he bruises them somewhat so the salt should catch on. So he has no kavana, no purpose in this juice, in this oil that is oozing out. So we don't regard the oil as mashkin, and those olives do not become susceptible to tumah. The third case is, leidai migiyo zeisav limsoik imlav. So he's squeezing the olives in order to determine whether the time of harvesting has come. So he's squeezing the oil out to see how easily the oil comes out. So he wants the oil because it's an indicator of the state of the ripeness. But the oil is going to evil. It's dripping down on the floor. It's being discarded. So the question here is that considered to be a mashkin? So the Tanakhama holds, lo yoshar. This is not considered to be a mashkin. It's going to waste. And it has no chashivas of a beverage. And therefore, the zesim, although they are in contact, they touch this juice, they don't become hushar l'kabotum. Rabbi Yudah mehushar. Yes, it does become hushar because he holds that even this type of juice, which is going li'ibud, is regarded as mashkin. And therefore, it is machshir those zesim for tumah. My la boka miflugi. Shall we not say that this indeed is the basis of their disagreement? Mar sava rabidos mashko imid ibud mashku. The juice which is slated for wasting for ibud is considered to be mashku. Umar sava tanakama holds la mashku. It is not considered to be mashku. So we found another pair of tanoim who disagree regarding this concept of a juice which is going to be discarded, whether or not it has a chashivas, a significance of a mashku. And in fact, of Yehuda, who maintains in this most recent price that even a mashke which is going li'ibud is considered to be, has a chashivas of mashke, is very much compatible with his own opinion stated earlier by that baker who is crushing those grapes, where Rabbi Yehuda tells us that juice is considered to be a mashke despite the fact that it's about to dry up and evaporate. Omar Rav Huna Beidar Rishua, Haritanoi, you write regarding the second price. This most recent price, these Tanoim are indeed disagreeing about this point. But Mashka, Oymed Li'ibud Pligi. The Machlokes is regarding Mashka, which is going Li'ibud. However, regarding the first Machlokes Tanoim, I disagree. V'hanach Tanoim, the first set of Tanoim regarding that baker, but Mashka, Oymed Letzach Tzachay Kamiflugi. They're not discussing juice which is going to be discarded, which is going to be wasted, going Li'ibud. Why? Because Rav Huna Beidar Rishua holds that there's no wasting going on. That juice is being absorbed in the dough there. It's lingering. It's sticking around. It's not going li'ibud. It's adding the shine. It's being used. There's no ibud whatsoever. So what then is the point of contention in that first machlekes? What is the svaras machlekes? The disagreement there is b'mash ge'omid letzach tzochay kemiflugi. Since this juice is not going to be consumed in a usual manner, you're not drinking it, you're not dipping into it, you're simply using it to add shine to the crust. That's not the typical standard way to use juice, to use a beverage. The question there is, in this case, whether this juice is regarded as a toiras mashke, is it treated like a mashke, like a beverage, since he intends on using it simply to add shine to his crust. So that's the point of the machlokes. Tanakama holds. No, Rabbi Yehuda holds. It is considered to be a mashka despite the fact he's merely using letzach tzachay to shine his bread. But it's unrelated to the question of ibud. So in summary, we learned about mashka, which is bal oichel. it's coming for the sake of a solid food, Rav says, is ko'ichel dami. Regarding mashka, which is bali ibud, we have a machlekes. Regarding balat sachzachoy, likewise, we have a machlekes. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Zera, Omar Rav Chia, Bar Ashi Omar Rav. Once again, the same halacha of a bala oichel, soichet odam eshkel shanovim, one may crush a cluster of grapes, l'seicha kedera, into his pot, because it is bala oichel, it is coming for the sake of food, and it is not considered to be a malacha. But he shouldn't do it into a bowl, in which case it does not have a din of a oichel. And Rashi told us earlier, since it doesn't appear obvious that he's using it for the sake of food, so he shouldn't squeeze it into a kara. We treat it like it would be a mashka and it involves a malach. Continues the Gemara. V'doglet siroi. What about squeezing a fish to extract its brine? Afilo secha kara. You can do this even to a bowl. Why? Rashi explains because the tzir, the juice which is being extracted from this juice, is not considered to be a mashka. It has a din as an oichel. Perhaps since it wasn't customary to squeeze fish for its juice, for its brine, therefore we don't treat it like a mashka. Or perhaps since the brine is so heavily loaded with the extraction of the fish itself, of the fat, of the essence of the fish itself, it's like liquefied food almost. Therefore, we don't regard it as a mashke. Rather, we simply consider it like he's separating two parts of the oichel. Therefore, there's no change of status. He's not reclassifying this matter from food to beverage. There's no malach of disha taking place. So this was the chiddush of Rav. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was sitting, and he was saying over this halacha in the name of Rav, that one may squeeze the fish for its brine. Amalei Abayler Rav Dimi. So Abaye told Rav Dimi, Atun, you, Mishmeidu Rav Masnisunlo. You have quoted this halacha, you have learned this halacha in the name of Rav, therefore, V'leikash Lechu. You have nothing difficult regarding this halacha. It all works well and fine. Anan, however, us, Mishmeidu Shmo Masnisunlo, we learned this halacha of squeezing the dog for its tzir, for its brine, we learned it in the name of Shmuel, the kashalon. And this resulted in a difficulty, it posed a kasha for us. Why? Me, Omar Shmuel, dog let tziroi. Can Shmuel then say that squeezing the dog for its tzir is muta afilu teicha kara? Did Shmuel really say that? It's considered like separating food from food and is not related to the melacha of disha. We find a contradiction in Shmuel himself. V'itmar, haven't we learned? Kvashim shesochtem. Kvashim are pickled vegetables. Rashi says they used to soak them in wine and in vinegar. So we have pickled vegetables that contain some liquid inside them. Shesochtem. And he went ahead and squeezed them and crushed them. Amar Rav, lugufan mutar. If the purpose here was lugufan, for their own sake, he's trying to dry them from their liquid, because he wants to eat the vegetable themselves. He has no intent to extract the juice for the sake of the juice. He wants to do legufan for their own sake. Or he wants to soften them a bit. That's why he's squeezing them. And it's mutter, despite the fact that there's some juice oozing out of it. He's not doing a malacha. He's simply trying to enhance the vegetable itself. Limei mayon, but if his intent is to extract the juice from this pickled vegetable, so it's not a malacha. Why not? So Rashi says, since the juice therein is not a natural phenomenon, the juice is merely as a result of the pickling process. It wasn't there initially, it wasn't part and parcel of this vegetable, so it's a foreign matter which was embedded in this vegetable. So extracting that is very dissimilar to extracting juice from a grape, therefore it's not a malach, potter. Aval osser, but don't do it. Why? Rashi says, because if he does this, he might confuse this with extracting grape juice from a grape. So you're not meant to do this, but if he does it, he's potter, it's not a malach. So this is regarding what? Kvashim, pickled vegetables. Ushlokos, however, boiled vegetables. If he wants to squeeze those vegetables, bein legufan, whether his intent is for the vegetable itself, bein lemameyan, whether his intent is for extraction of the juice, he wants to make use of the juice, vegetable soup, mutter, in this case, it's even more lenient. He may do so. Why? As Rashi says, the juice of a vegetable, of a boiled vegetable, a cooked vegetable, is regarded not as mashke. Rather, we treat it like food. It has a gedrei status, is classified as food. We learned in the brachas as well, vegetable soup. It absorbed the flavor of the vegetable to such extent that we regard the liquid of this vegetable tantamount to the vegetable itself. It's classified like a vegetable. And it is not regarded as juice. It has a din of oichel. So you're simply separating two parts of the oichel, two parts of the food item. Therefore, it's mutter. So once again, to crush, to squeeze the pickle juice, if he's doing it legufan, for its own sake, to soften the vegetable itself, that's mutter. If his intent is to extract the juice, it's not a malacha, but he shouldn't do it. Regarding boiled vegetables, he can do it in any case. Ushmol amar, echad kvashim echad shlokis. Whether he is squeezing the pickled vegetables or squeezing the boiled vegetables, legufan mutter. If his intent is to soften the vegetable itself, for instance, it is mutter. Limei meyan. But if his intention is to extract the juice from the pickled or boiled vegetable, patav al asr, it's not considered a malacha, because again, we're speaking about foreign matter, which was embedded in this vegetable. It's not naturally occurring moisture or juice. And therefore, extracting it is not related to malacha v'disha, but it's asr, apparently according to Shmuel. In both cases, even in the boiled vegetables, we consider it to be similar to fruit juice, and don't do it lest they go ahead and actually squeeze a fruit. Now, the shlokis, as Rashi explained, the juice of the shlokis is regarded as oichel. You're separating two portions of a food item. Nevertheless, Shmuel tells us, don't do it. So apparently, getting back to the case of doglet siroi, squeezing that fish to extract its brine, where likewise, earlier we considered that to be simply separating two parts of a food item. The tzir, the brine being extracted, was not regarded as a mashka, rather it was an oichel. So apparently, according to Shmuel, it tells us that extracting the juice from the boiled vegetables, despite the fact that that's regarded as an oichel, may not be done. He would hold the same halacha, he would apply the same iser to squeezing a fish to extract its brine. So this is Abaye speaking. We quoted that halacha, that allowance, to squeeze the fish in the name of Shmuel, thereby resulting in a seeming stira, contradiction, between that Shmuel who allows and the Shmuel by us who tells us that one cannot go ahead and separate the juice of these boiled vegetables from the vegetables despite the fact that he's simply separating food from food. So once again, Shmuel says, even shlaka is legufan mutter lememein aser. Lememein patar al aser. So there's a contradiction. So this is Abaye speaking to Rav Dimi. He said, well, you are quoting Rav. We quoted Shmuel and we have something difficult. Amar leis, Rav Dimi responded, my version is correct. Holeikim is the name of Hashem, a lashon of shvo, of swearing. Einai ro'uv leizar. My own eyes saw. Meaning, I experienced this firsthand. Mipumi d'Rav Yirmiyah shmili. I heard this from the mouth of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah Rav Zera, he heard it from Rav Zera. Rav Zera and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Rav Zera heard it from Chiya Bar Ashi. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi made Rav. He heard it directly from Rav. Indeed, this halacha, which I had quoted, is meant to be related to Rav and not to Shmuel, and therefore there's no contradiction whatsoever. Kufa, so we actually just learned, kvashim shesachtam, pickled vegetables, which he would like to squeeze, amar Rav. Lugufan mutar, if he's doing it for its own sake, to soften, to dry the actual vegetable, without any intent of extracting the juice, mutar, he can do that. Lemei mein, if the purpose is for their juice, patar val asar, it is not a malacha, but he shouldn't do it, lest he go ahead and squeeze a grape, for instance. Or shlokas, regarding boiled vegetables, there's no concern whatsoever. As we explained, the juice there is regarded as an oichel, it's just a liquefied food. Therefore, bein legufan, whether for the sake of the vegetable itself, bein lememein, whether he's squeezing it for the sake of the juice, mutter is perfectly allowed. Ushmul amar, echadzeh, whether picked vegetables or cooked vegetables, legufan mutter, indeed, legufan is no problem, but lememein, if the intent is to extract the juice, potter avol asr. Now we have a third sheet, Rabbi Yochanan amar, echad kvashim, whether pickled, vechad shlokes, whether boiled, legufan mutter. Indeed, if he's doing it for the sake of the vegetable itself, he's squeezing it to dry it, to soften it, that's okay. Le-me-me-en. But if his kavana, if his purpose is to extract their juice, chayav chatas. So Rabbi Yochanan is very machmir, he holds that we equate this to your typical juice extraction from a fruit, extracting the grape juice from the grape. Because according to Rav Yochanan, the fact is that this juice, which is being extracted from the pickle juice, from the pickled vegetables, or the boiled vegetables, even boiled vegetables, we regard that juice coming out like mayim, like water, like liquid. Why? Because initially, it was a liquid, it was a beverage, before it went into the cooked vegetables. So Rav Yochanan maintains that its status remains the same. We still regard it as a liquid, and extracting this liquid from the vegetables is tantamount to extracting liquid from a fruit, creating juice from a fruit, from a eichel. That is a melach of disha. So he holds that kvashim and shlaka is apparently was customary to squeeze them for their juice, and therefore we regard this mashke as legitimate beverage, as a maisa of schita, and therefore it's chayiv chatas. Says the Ramesha Yakash from the following brisa. This will be a kash on all the opinions. Rav Shmuel Rav Yechanan. Brisa says, Soichten kvashim b'shabbos l'soich ha-shabbos. When we squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos, if its purpose is l'soich ha-shabbos, so he needs it today. Avo loy lo matzei Shabbos, but he shouldn't do it for the sake of matzei Shabbos. Continues the brisa. V'zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, lo yischat, he should not squeeze them. V'msachat chayiv chatas. So he shouldn't squeeze them at all. Apparently, he shouldn't even do it legufan if he wants to soften them, because since if he goes ahead and squeezes them for the sake of their juice, certainly it would be chayiv chatas, because the juice coming out of zeis and of them all agree involves a malacha. So the first one speak out, he shouldn't even go squeeze them legufan to soften them, since it is customary practice to go ahead and crush zeis and vanovim. So there's a concern if he does it even for the sake of softening the fruit, he might go ahead and squeeze it for the sake of the juice, in which case it's a malacha, so he shouldn't get involved in squeezing them altogether. Now what's pertaining to us is that this seems to be a kasha on all shittas. Why? Because the braisa tells us that one may go ahead and squeeze the kvashim, the pickled vegetables, and the braisa doesn't differentiate between whether his kavan is legufan or lemeimein. Apparently, even if his intent is to extract the juice from these kvashim, is perfectly allowed. Says the Gemara, Kasha L'Rav. This is a Kasha on Rav, who tells us that one may not squeeze kvashim for the sake of their juice. It is Kasha L'Shmuel, who says likewise that it's Asr, and Kasha L'Rav Yochanan, certainly on Rav Yochanan, who maintains not only is Asr Midrabanan, it's Asr Midatir. Says the Gemara, all three Amiraim will interpret the Braisa according to their respective opinions. Rav Metaretz, Rav will interpret the Braisa Letamei, according to his Shita. Shmuel Metaretz, according to Letamei, according to his Shita. Rav Yechon Metaretz, Letamei. Explains it. Rav Metaretz, Letamei, Rav will interpret the Braisa according to his view. The Braisa is teaching us as follows. Soichten kvashim b'shabbos l'soich ha-shabbos. One may squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos if his intent is to use it on Shabbos. Avaloi lo mitzir Shabbos, but not if he's preparing for matzah Shabbos. When is it said lugufan? If his kavana is for the sake of the vegetable itself, but if his kavana is to extract the juice, potavol aser. Certainly, one might not do that because he might confuse this with ordinary fruits, in which case it would be a malacha. Therefore, you meant to refrain from doing this. Ushlokos, however, boiled vegetables—that's a notch lower. That's a step down. Why? Because as we explained, the juice being extracted from those boiled vegetables are classified as oichel, says Rav. Ushloka is bein legufan, bein lemein, whether his intent is for the vegetable or for the juice, motor, there's no concern whatsoever. And the Braisa concludes with eisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, lo yischet, he should not squeeze, him sachtan, but if he does so, chayev chatas. So this is Rav's opinion, that when it comes to kvashim, he can only squeeze them legufan, but not lemein. Shlokas, you can do either way. Shmuel, says the Gemara Metaris, litame, he will interpret the Braisa according to his opinion. The Braisa teaches us soichten kvashim b'shabbos l'soich ha-shabbos. He can squeeze the pickled ones on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. V'odin l'shlokos. Likewise, shlokos have the same category. Rav Yochanan Shmuel doesn't differentiate between one type and the other. V'medva amurim l'gufan. That's only if he's intending to aid and benefit the vegetable itself. He's doing it for its own sake. Avol meimein. But if his intent is to extract the juice, potar v'al aser, one may not do so, whether they are pickled or boiled. Olives and grapes, he should not can evolve altogether in crushing them, v'msachat, if you squeeze them, chayiv chatas. So this is Shmuel telling us that kvashim and shlokais are classified together. Legufan is mutter, lememein is asam drabon. Rabbi Yochanan says the Mormatis litameh. He will interpret the Brisa according to his opinion. The Brisa teaches us seichet and kvashim l'tzorech haShabbos. One may be seichet kvashim, the pickled ones, for the sake of Shabbos, avoloi l'matzorech Shabbos, but not for after Shabbos. Echad kvashim, v'echad shlokais, whether pickled or boiled vegetables. V'amed v'amrum legufan. This is only said if he's squeezing them for their own sake, avol meimein, but if he's trying to extract the juice, lo yischait, he shouldn't do that. V'im sachat, if he proceeds, nasa k'misha sachat zeisim v'anotim. It is regarded as though he crushed, he squeezed legitimate fruit, zeisim, olive, v'anotim, and grapes, v'chayav chatas. So that's the conclusion of the Braisa, that if one proceeds and crushes the pickled and the boiled vegetables for the sake of their juice, he has done a malacha, it is equated to crushing grapes and olives. So in summary, we learned regarding squeezing different items, and we have three shittas, we have Rav, we have Shmuel, Rav Yochanan. We have three classifications. We have vegetables which are kvashim, pickled. We have shlokos, boiled. The Gemara tells us that in this category also fits the dog squeezing that fish for the sake of its brine, because in both cases you are separating, according to some shittas at least, you're separating food from food. Then we have finally zeisim anavim, your standard fruits. Now let's begin with the easiest one, which is zeisim anavim. If he's squeezing them lugufan, it's aser. If he's doing it lemei mehen, surely it's chayv chatas, and this is agreed upon by all shittas. Now let's get back to kvashim. We have three shittas, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yechanan. So Rav holds pickled vegetables, kvashim. He can squeeze them lugufan to soften them, to dry them. So legufan is a recurring theme throughout. All agree, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yechanan agree, that whether pickled or boiled, if he's doing it legufan, it's completely mutter. So Rav holds legufan is mutter. If he's squeezing those pickled vegetables lemeimein to extract their juice, it's aser, lest he confuse it with fruit juice. What about shlokos? Boiled vegetables, legufan is mutter, lemeimein is mutter as well, because he's simply separating food from food. According to Shmuel, kvashim lugufan is mutter, lumemein is aser, like Rav. In shlokos, he holds the same, lugufan is mutter, lumemein is aser. Rav Yochan is a chiddush, he holds kvashim lugufan is mutter, but lumemein, we consider that an extraction of juice from food, it is chayav chatas. Shlokos likewise, lugufan is mutter. If he's extracting lumemein, we regard this as though he's extracting a mashke from mo'echel, he's changing the status. He's the classification of that liquid, of that beverage, he's turning it from food to mashke, and it is equated with the melacha of disha, and he's chayev chatas. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, this is three lines from the bottom, Omar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Marav. Dvar Torah, meaning, min ha Torah, ein chayev. He's only chayev, elo al drisas, or al dricha, some say, crushing, zeisim banav milvad, only for crushing olives or grapes. Only that is considered to be schita, melachav disha, because it is customary. It is the usual thing, a standard, to crush these types of fruits for the sake of their juice. But other types of fruits and vegetables, Rashi says, lav or chai bachi, it's not the derech to crush them, and therefore the juice which is extracted is not really regarded legally, halachically, as a mashke with regard to the melacha of disha. V'chein toin dvei menashe. Likewise, you learned in the brayse of menashe dvar toyer menatoyer ein chayv el al drisa zeisim anav milvad. And the brayse continues with one more halacha, which seems to be a bit unrelated. The halacha is v'ein eid mipi eid kasha ella be'ed leidisisha milvad. So an eid mipi eid means that if one witness testifies, he testifies with information that he heard secondhand, he got it from another witness. It's an aid, mipi aid. So generally we don't rely on this type of aid. We can't do a din Torah based on this type of testimony. However, it is kosher, it is acceptable for aidas isha b'vad. Rashi explains aidas isha is to permit a woman to remarry. Her husband left town and an aid comes along and says, you know, I have this information, secondhand information, that he had passed away. We accept that, rely on that, and we allow it to remarry. There's a leniency applied in this case, since we don't want to stay in a state of limbo. Continues the Gemara. Iboilu, so they asked the following question. Eid mepiyed. This concept of second-hand testimony. Le'edus b'chor mau. What about using this type of edus for b'chor? Rashi explains that a b'chor, which is a firstborn animal given to the kohen, he needs to wait for a mum to appear, a blemish to allow using this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara b'chor tells us that the Kohanim were not trusted in this matter. They were suspected of actually inflicting the wound, doing it on their own because they wanted to eat this animal. So the kohen can only use it, the animal that has a mum, if he brings an aid. Somebody will shall testify that this mum showed up naturally. It wasn't brought about by the kohen. What if we have an aid with P8 who's testifying secondhand? Again, aid with P8 leidus b'chor regarding the testimony of b'chor. Ma, what is the halacha? Do we rely on it or not? Rav Ami Asir, he says, no, you can't. Rav Asi, shari, he allowed. Only Rav Ami Rav Asi. V'atana de Menashe. Haven't we learned in the Tana de Menashe? Eid mepi'eid, kosher, eila le'edus isha bovad. So we only apply this sort of testimony to an edus isha. How can you say that even regarding edus b'chur, this is acceptable? Sounds like more Ema explains, say like this, le'edus she'isha k'sherla bovad. Tana de Menashe meant to say that we accept secondhand edus for any sort of testimony which is not a serious testimony. It's not regarded minatoyer like an edus. For instance, any sort of testimony where even an isha, who is generally not regarded as a valid witness, even an isha is relied upon. For instance, in the case of permitting an isha to remarry, where we believe even words coming from an isha can testify. Likewise, when it comes to bechor, we learn in the Gemara bechor is that even an isha is kosher to testify for that. So that's what Tana Dasha means. They mean that you can rely on secondhand testimony for any type of edus where an isha is acceptable. So likewise, secondhand edus is fine. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yemar, achshar eid mipi eid b'chur. He accepted the secondhand edus regarding a b'chur. Karli Mereimar. So Mereimar was displeased with this, and he referred to Rav Yemar as Yemar shari b'chur. Yemar, who permits a b'chur. V'hilchasam, we conclude, aid mipi aid, a second-hand aidus is kosher libuchar as well. Continues the Gemara, Chalis Dvash. So Mishnah told us that the Chalis Dvash, which are the honeycombs, which are crushed before Shabbos, and the honey is flowing out on Shabbos. Tanakam says Asur, Blazer says it's Mutter. Says the Maki Asur of Aisha, and Aisha came from Minardo, from Nardo. Asur he came, but Aisha must need to be other. He brought along this brisa, which says, Zaysim Vanovim Shariska Meir Shabbos. So this is not only what it says in the Mishnah regarding honeycombs. He presented a halacha regarding olives and grapes, Shariska Meir Shabbos, which he had already crushed from before Shabbos, Vyotzim Atzman, and the juice is simply flowing out on its own, Asurin. One cannot partake, can benefit from that juice. Why? Because we're concerned that perhaps he's going to go ahead and squeeze the Zaysim Vanovim themselves, so you can't benefit from the juice. Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon Matir, they hold one can go ahead and benefit from the juice, which is simply flowing out on its own. So this was the brisa presented by Rav Yosef. Omer Rav Yosef, what's the chiddush here? What are you coming to teach us? Gavri Yisera, Asla Shminan. Is he coming simply to add another name into the picture? We already know that Rav Lezer allows this type of benefit. One can enjoy the honey, which is flowing out from the crushed honeycombs. So it seems like a Rav Yosef is simply coming to add another name to the cause. He's saying not only Rav Lezer allows, Rav Shimon allows as well. Is that all he's coming to teach us? Another name? Amalei Abaye. So Abaye responded, no, actually, Tuva Kamashman. He's coming to teach us a great halacha, a great chiddush. Because he is teaching us not only honey is mutter, even ordinary fruit juice would be awesome. Even Masnisen, Havamina, if only from our Mishnah, perhaps our thing I would suggest, Hasam who over there by the honeycombs, the mikara uchla basayf uchla. The honey initially when it was in the honeycomb was classified as food. Basayf uchla. Ultimately, after it oozes out, after it flows out, it still retains that food status. It doesn't change. It's not classified as something else. It retains its food status consistently throughout. So therefore, mina toira. To be no isser, and actually even crushing those honeycombs, because you're not changing the classification of the content within. It begins an oichel and ends an oichel. It's only with the rabbana you can't do that. So perhaps over there, we're not so machmer, if you crushed it before Shabbos, and he lets it flow out on its own, he can go ahead and use it on Shabbos. Because there's no concern that perhaps if you allow this, perhaps it'll go crush a honeycomb. It's only Issam Darabanan, we're not so machm. But in our case, where the juice is coming out of not a honeycomb, but grapes and olives, the Mikara Oichla, initially, the juice was part and parcel embedded in the food, was classified as food. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it is a mashke. So the classification is changing, the status is changing. In which case, it would involve Issa Deiraisa to extract that juice from the food to change the status from food to liquid. So perhaps, even in this case, when the food was already crushed before Shabbos, we are not allowed to use the juice coming out of this fruit. Why? Because perhaps if you allow this, then it might lead him to actually crush uncrushed fruit, which is Issa Deiraisa, Eimaloi. Perhaps this would not be allowed. According to Reb Lezer, Kamash Malan, therefore Vesha teaches us, no, that's not the case. Reb Lezer, and likewise Reb Shimon, allow even using the juice exuding from, flowing out, freely flowing out of the crushed grapes or olives. There's no concern whatsoever. Surely, crushing uncrushed grapes involved the Issa Deiraisa, but these are already crushed from before Shabbos, and they hold that it is not customary, it's not the derech to go ahead and get yourself involved in recrushing those crushed fruit. Therefore, there's no concern whatsoever. Whereas according to Rabbanon, they don't allow this because they're concerned that perhaps he'll go ahead and resume the crushing process even on the crushed fruit. Continues the Gemara. Kol shebo b'cham en me'erev Shabbos, any food which was already brought into hot water, meaning it was already cooked before Shabbos, shoyun oiser b'cham b'Shabbos, one may go ahead and immerse it. Let it soak in hot water on Shabbos. It was already cooked before Shabbos. V'chol sheloi bo b'chamen me'er Shabbos. Something which was not pre-cooked. Madich noise b'chamen b'Shabbos. One may rinse it using hot water. There's no concern of bishul. Except for some items. Chutz, except min ha'maliach ha'yoshen. This aged fish. Rashi says it's at least 1 year old. So it's salted, aged fish. V'kulis ha'espanen. This is also a salted fish. Spanish mackerel. So these are different. Why? Shadachosim. Merely their rinsing, zuig marmalachten, is regarded as the finishing touches of these items. These things become edible merely as a result of them being rinsed with hot water. So merely rinsing it is tantamount to cooking. Has the lach of bishul. Therefore you can't rinse them with hot water on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah began as something which was already cooked, maybe soaked in hot water on Shabbos. Kigoyin mai. For example, what are we speaking about? Rav Safra kigoyin. Time to go to the Rav Abba. This chicken of Rav Abba. So in his home, in his household, it was customary for them to cook a chicken, and then soak it for a prolonged period of time in hot water, so it dissolves. And Rashi says they would eat it for refuah, for medicinal purposes. Va'amar Rav Safra, zimna chada iklayis lahasam. There was one time which I visited their home there. Va'uchla minei, and they fed me, they served me from this dissolved chicken. And I was so repulsed as a result of that. V'loy Rabba Abba, if not for the fact that Rabba Abba, he came through in the clutch, Ashkayan Chamra, he fed me, he gave me to drink high quality wine, Chamra, high quality wine, Bartlosa Tarfi. So it's wine, Chamra is wine, Bartlosa Tarfi, which grew three sets of leaves, meaning it's 3 years old, it was high quality wine. Matter of fact, that he came to the rescue, it nasi the Lashon of Oynes, I would have been compelled to vomit as a result of my repulsed state. So this is something quite repulsive. Continues the Gemara, Rav Yochanan, Raik, he would spit out of disgust. Mikutach the Bavloi, when he recalled the concept of the Kutach, this certain type of dip, the Bavloi, this Babylonian dip, he was repulsed from it. Rav Yosef, took slight offense here that the people of Eretz Yisrael negated, were repulsed by the Babylonian dishes, Babylonian food. So he responded, he said, "Valer kanon, as well we can spit mitarnagolta de Rav Abba, from this tarnagolta Rav Abba, which is not really too appetizing either." So Rav Yosef, who was a ben bavel, says, you know, we can respond likewise regarding this dish that they serve in Eretz Yisrael. V'oit, additionally, actually, kutach ha-bavli is not so terrible. Why? Amar Rav Gaza said, Zimna Chada, there was one time he klais lahasam, that he came to Eretz Yisrael, v'av this kutach de bavloi, and I prepared this kutach de bavloi, this dish, and was so attractive. She'ilu minei kol brichei marava. There was such high demand that all the brichei marava, brichei means the sick, the ill people of marava, of the west, of Eretz Yisrael, they asked them for a portion. So apparently, it's not so terrible. And many people actually find it to be appetizing. Continues the Gemara. Kol shabo leibor b'chamin. The Mishnah tells us that these specific types of fish, salted fish, may not be even rinsed with hot water on Shabbos because it is regarded as a melacha bishul. Generally speaking, rinsing does not accomplish bishul, but when something only requires this minimal amount of bishul, so it's all relative. This is considered to be an act of bishul pertaining to this specific item. So if a person actually rinses it, has he done a melacha d'oraisa? Hidiach mai. What is a melacha if he rinses it? Omar b'yesev hidiach chayav chatas. Certainly, it's a melacha of bishul, he's chayav chatas. Omar mar b'ri darvina. We seem to have a raya to this concept from our very Mishnah. So you can't rinse these two types of fish. Because rinsing them is considered to doing the Gemar Malacha, which means that he's doing a Malacha. Which Malacha? Malacha of Bishul. Shema Mino. Indeed, we hear from here that it's not merely an Isser, it's a Rabbanan, it's actually a Malacha Deiraisa. Continues the Gemara, Yosef Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Asi, so they too were sitting kamed Rav Yechanan, in front of Rav Yechanan. V'yosu Rav Yechanan kamenamnim. Rav Yechanan was dozing off. So they took the opportunity to discuss something. Amrle Rav Chiya ba'Abba Rav Asi. So he turned to Rav Asi and he asked him four questions. Number one, why do we find that the birds, the fowl in Bavel, are actually more plump and higher quality than the ones found in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Asi responded, not so soon. Klach l'midbar Aza. Go to Midbar Aza. Ve'erech shmeinim hem. I'll show you birds which are even more plump than the ones in Bavel. Second question. B'pnei ma'am ve'yadam shiva Bavel smeichem. Why do we find that the yamim tovim in Bavel are considered to be extraordinarily joyous events, even greater than Eretz Yisrael? So he told me, you know why? B'pnei shein aniyim. Because in Bavel they're poor. And the Yom Tovim afford them the opportunity to enjoy food and drink, to have a rest from their work. So all their simcha from their entire year is concentrated, is celebrated and observed during the Yom Tovim. Third question was, why do we find that the Talmid HaChacham and Bavel are dressed and adorned with elegant clothing? He told them because they're not considered to be proper Bnei Torah, they don't have the same level of scholarship as Ibn Eretz Yisrael. They're not considered to be Bnei Torah, and therefore they need to adorn themselves with elegant clothing to garner respect and covet on account of their attire rather than their scholarship. The fourth question was, why are the Gentiles mizuhamim? They have impurity, speaking about spiritual impurity. And their answer is, so he told them, since they eat all these various creatures which imbue them with this impurity. So four questions with four responses. Says Gemara, Itza b'hu Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan woke up, Amalu, and he turned to them, he told them, Daratiki, youngsters, Loikach amarti lachem, didn't I already tell you, Emor l'chachma achoysiyat, tell Chachma, you're my sister, what's the connection between Chachma and achoysi? We learn like this, Im bor l'cha adobar ka achoyscha, if the Torah is clear to you, just like the halacha, that achoyscha she asur lach, like your sister which is asa to you, I'm reyu, then say it. So if it's clear to you, if you have full grasp, then fine, you can say it. V'imla, but if it's not clear to you, loisam reyu, don't say it. Meaning, apparently he disapproved, he overheard during his dozing this conversation, and he disapproved regarding the responses here. So Amarle, so they told him, Vilem alon mar. So you, master, you, please tell us, Azaman, tell us some of the answers. So he began, he told him like this. Regarding the first question, why are the Oifos in Bavel more plump than the ones in Eretz Yisrael? Because they never went into exile. Therefore, they developed into more plump and higher quality creatures. Shenemar Sha'anan Moyav ben Urav, so Moyav is tranquil from its youth, Vishakat Al Shmarav, Ubugod Loyalach never went to exile, and the Pasuk concludes there, that therefore it maintained its flavor, its taste. So going into exile makes it lose its quality, and the Eifas and Babel never experienced that, as opposed to the Eifas of Eretz Yisrael, who were sent into exile, and as a result, they lost their quality. V'hacha menon de Golo. Here, meaning the Eifas of Eretz Yisrael, what do we know? How do we know that they went into Golos as well? The son is willing to embrace it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nun Beis Shana, for 52 years, lo yavar ish b'Yehuda. There wasn't a person who trespassed, who passed through the land of Yehuda. It was completely, totally desolate. Shenema ala harim nesabechi, on the mountains, I will raise my voice and crying, and hey, oif ha-shamayim vat behema, nodadu hochu. So everybody, from the oif ha-shamayim until the behema, they wandered and they left. Now, for how many years? So we learn a gematria. Behema, the word behema is the gematria, its numerical value is chamishim v'tarten havu, 52 years. So it's very clear that for this period of 52 years, there was a comprehensive, all-encompassing exile galus that took place, even for the behemas and the oifas. Om Rabbi Yaakov, Om Rabbi Yechanan, kulon chazru. Everybody, all of them, the behemas, even the fish, the birds, they all returned back to Eretz Yisrael after this period, except for one. Chutz, mikulis ha'ispan, and this type of fish. Why? The Amar Rav. Because Rav told us, hani, medori de bavel, these slopes of water, and bavel, these streams, mahadri maile ein itam. They returned that water back to Eretz Yisrael. This was a spring called ein itam near the base of Migdash. So the water travels back through underground tunnels and passageways. It makes its way back to Eretz Yisrael. So the fish traveled through that route. They made their way back to Eretz Yisrael. Except for this specific fish, Bahai, this kulius aspan, couldn't make its way back. Why? Kimadolei shorish shidre, since its shedre, its spine is not strong enough, leimatzi solik, it couldn't work its way back, and therefore it never made it back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's proceed with the second question. So why are the Yom Tovim in Bavel extraordinarily joyous moments and occasions, since they weren't included in the curse, in the klala, which was applied to Yom Tovim Eretz Yisrael, as it says, Vishpatik Omasoisa. So Hashem is saying, I'm going to terminate all its joy, Chaga, Chadosha, Vishabata, so the Yom Tovim, the new months, Vishabata, Vikol Mayad, Uksiv Chadshechem, Omayadechem, Sona Nafshi, I hated, I despised, Hoyle, Latoirach, they were on me as a burden. So since the Yom Tovim Eretz Yisrael had a klala applied to them, so they were affected by that klala, and the Yom Tovim in Bavel are celebrated with a greater level of joy. Now, what does it mean? They were on me a burden. Omar Blaz, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, "Lo yidayin liYisrael." It's not sufficient. It's not enough for Klal Yisrael shechaytin lefonai to do avers before me. Elo shematrichin oisi. They also burden me later to figure out Ezek Zerah Kosha V'Alein, which type of evil decree I'll bring upon them as a retribution. So in any case, the point here is that the Yom Tovim of Bavel are celebrated with more Simcha because they weren't affected by the Klal. In fact, says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yitzchak, Ein Chakol Regel V'Regel. Not a single Yom Tov passes Shalei Basa B'Leshes L'Tzipayri, that a B'Leshes, a troop which comes to plunder and to loot, has not arrived and not visited Tzipayri. As a result of this klala, v'Rav Chanina, ein l'chakol regel regel. There isn't even one yamtiv shalei bo l'tverya, agma and v'katma and balzmer, different types of officials and represented authorities, which come to make trouble and post taxes and plunder. So tverya would suffer on a yamtiv, and again, this is as a result of the gzer, of the klala. The third question was, why are they dressed so elegantly? V'she'en abneit m'kayman. Not because they're not Bnei Torah, but rather because they're out of their natural habitat. They're out of place. They were Goyla, they went to Bavel, and therefore they require wearing this elegant attire. Why? I'm Ishi, because people say, B'masa, when I'm in my local, my city, Shamai, then I'm known simply by my name. I don't need to impress anybody. But Lo'imasa, when I'm out of town, Toisvoi, then I need to impress, I get my cover, my recognition, as a result of my attire, my clothing. So these Talmid Chachamim were out of place, they're in Bavel, they were going up from Yisrael to Bavel, they need to dress elegantly as a result of this. But they're still Bnei Torah, they're men of very high scholarship and high stature. As we see in the following, Gemara HaBoim, Yashish Yaakov, so those that are coming, Yashish Yaakov, Yotzitz, Uparach Yisrael, Yotzitz means bud, Uparach, blossom Yisrael. Tanu Rabbi Yosef, what is this pasuk referring to? Elu Talmid Chachamim Shebabavel. It's referring to the Talmid Chachamim, which went begolus from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that they're very great. She'oisim tzitzim aprachim. The Torah, they create tzitzim aprachim, buds and blossoms for the Torah. They immerse themselves in the Torah. They expound on the Torah. So this is a post Rabbi Yochanan, who maintains that they were men of high stature. The reason why they wear these elegant clothing was because of the reason that he mentioned before, because they're out of their location. The fourth question was, why are the Gentiles, why they have impurity? The reason is, Rabbi Yochanan said, Shalai Omdo Har Sinai, because they were not present by Har Sinai. What is the relation to that? Shabesho Shabo Nachash Al Chava. So when the first Nachash, he had relations with Chava, Rashi brings that when he gave her the Eitzah, the advice to eat from the Eitzah Das, he actually had Tashmish with her. The Pasha says, Hanochas Hishi Ani Loshan Nisuin. So at that point, at that moment, Hitubo Zuma, he embedded in her a Zuma in purity. Now, until when was that Zuma present? Yisrael, Shomdal Har Sinai, Yisrael, who were present by Har Sinai, Pasko Zomasan. Their Zuma terminated, was removed, as Rashi brings, all types of physical and spiritual sicknesses and ailments were healed, were removed by Har Sinai, and likewise this impurity was removed, they were cleansed. In contrast with the goyim who were not by Har Sinai, their zoma was not removed. What are we going to say regarding converts? It seems that they weren't by Har Sinai. How was their impurity removed? Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, Afgav the inuloi havu, although they themselves were not present, mazlayu havu, their mazal there. Neshama was present there, and as a result of that, they were cleansed of their impurity. So it's profound here that the point that a ger becomes a ger later on, but really, his neshama, his mazal, was present by Har Sinai. Amazing. So how do we know that the mazal was by Har Sinai? The chsiv, as it says, Eis asher yesh nipo yimono hoy min hayoyim, Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, those that are present with us today, v'nei Hashem alakeinu, v'eis asher inenu po, even those that are not here. So the covenant, the bris, the Torah, was related and applied to all, even those that aren't physically here, since their neshama, their mazal, is present. It says the Gemara, upliga d'rab abba b'akana. This notion, this contention that the Zuma was cleansed by Har Sinai, is in dispute to Rav Abba Bakan, who says that actually it left them much earlier in history. Until three generations, but only until three generations, the Zuma was still present. Avram gave birth to Yishmael, who was considered to be his impurity, his Zuma. Likewise, Yitzchak gave birth to Esav, who was considered to be his element of impurity. But once it came to Yaakov, the third generation of our ancestors, they were totally cleansed and purified. There was no more Zoma, Yaakov, Hoyle, Yudve, Shvatim. Indeed, he gave birth to 12 Shvatim who were whole and complete and totally pure. Shaloi Hoy ben Shum Daifi, which there was nothing, no Daifi, nothing improper, nothing impure, nothing lacking in them. So the Zoma was completely removed and Kaiser was completely cleansed from the impurities already way back at the time of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. Rav taught us that mashkin habolo oichel, it's being squeezed into a food. That juice is not considered to be a beverage, a mashka, rather it is regarded as an oichel. Regarding juice which is bodily ibud, which is going to waste, going to be discarded, is that a mashka? We have machlekes. What about bolot tzachtzach, it's coming to merely add shine to the crust of this bread? We have machlekes there as well. We had a three-way machlokes regarding squeezing vegetables. We have kvashim, pickled vegetables. We have shlokes, boiled vegetables. The Gemara said squeezing a fish for the sake of its brine is also regarded in the same category as the shlokes. So we have a three-way machlokes. Now all agree, one may squeeze these things legufan to soften them for the sake of the item itself. There's no concern. What about lemei main if his intent is to extract the juice? So Rav says, kvashim, pickled vegetables, lemei main, squeezing them for their sake of their juice is asur. But shlokos, one can do so lechatchila because the juice, the vegetable juice there, is regarded merely as an oichel, he's separating food from food without any concern. Shmuel says, kvash and shlokos, if he's squeezing them for the sake of their juice, it's an asur, lest he confuse that with squeezing ordinary fruit juice. Rav Yochanan says, in both cases, it's actually chayav chatas, it's regarded like an ordinary malacha of dash. We concluded that Eid Mipi Eid, second-hand Eidus, is relied upon for Eidus Isha to allow a woman to remarry, regarding allowing a B'chayr. We have a Machlekes. We learned that according to Blazer of Shimon, juice which is flowing from grapes and olives, which are already pre-crushed before Shabbos, is mutar. We learned that certain types of fish cannot even be rinsed on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan explained to us why in Bavel the Eifers are plumpier, the Mo'adim are happier, and the Talmid Chacham are dressed elegantly. And we concluded that the Yisrael, as well as the Gerim, who cleansed of their impurity, either at the time of Matan Torah, or in the case of Klal Yisrael, even way earlier, the time of Yaakov Avinu.